Okay, so let me share with you some of the other concerns that have been raised here. This person says they haven't heard anybody mention laundry in this minimum wage. Then somebody else says that once bitten, twice shy, that Beijing should have been burnt by extortionate prices for years. My mother says that bath soap is already up nearly 30% over the past few weeks, and the minimum wage issue hasn't even taken effect. Now, you also got to take into consideration what's been happening out there in the Suez Canal and that sort of thing, huh? Because all of those ships that have backed up, over 400 of them, that is seen as having implications not just for Europe, but it can have implications for people like us as well. And you've got to look and see whether that may cause certain items to increase in price. I mean, there's been so much that's been happening from COVID especially, that sometimes you can't separate out what is locally induced and what is induced by the external forces and pressures out there, you know. So unless the people who are intimately involved come forward and tell you, and sometimes they don't come and tell you, largely because once you raise your head as a business person in Barbados to say anything along those lines, more often than not, there's going to be some pushback to the effect that, you know, but what about all the money that you made before? And there's a mistrust, a deep mistrust of what business people have to say on this matter. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, welcome.
Welcome. I mean, like, to you guys, all right? My foot was broken. My foot broken.
Hold on. I want you to speak slowly because you speak so quickly that it's hard for other people to pick up what you're saying. So your foot was broken. You went to the hospital.
Foot broken, right. And I went in the bathroom. All the toilet paper. Both men and women, no toilet paper.
So what do you think happened there? Did the toilet paper roll off by itself?
No. People just roll it off and carry it away.
No, all right then.
Bad. And when you want toilet paper, you're getting none. And you're going to take the place and you got to buy toilet paper from other people.
That means you got to walk with your own.
Toilet paper.
You would have to walk with your own.
Yes.
So people who are hearing this from you today should bear in mind that if they have to go to use public facilities and stuff like that, you should bear in mind that this can happen. Because there are a lot of unreasonable people out there, you know.
I said no. That is a broken up. They said, God, someone to look after this one. He told it. He said, you are from. Because of this bare foolishness.
I understand your frustration.
And you want me to the bathroom, and the bathroom dirty, piss up, and you know toilet paper, huh? And you're going to pay $2 for a roll of toilet paper. So if you got money, well, don't want money, where you go all the day? You show them and they come up to get tainted?
So that happened today?
No, last week. Last week.
Mm-hmm. All right, ma'am.
Have a nice day.
You do too. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Let me see who's next in line. Yes, sir.
Hello. Yes, sir, Mr. Ellis.
Yes. How can I help?
I want to speak about the shutting down hours as it relates to cook shops or restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you had the Attorney General on your program on the 19th saying that cook shops are allowed to be open until 9. They can close earlier, but they must close by 9.
Yes.
And he said cook shops / restaurants. During the week after that, the COVID, I was present at a cook shop. And the COVID team turned up and closed the shop. I said, you see who signed this? We don't listen to the Attorney General. We listen to the Prime Minister. I tried to have a conversation with him. It was a bit con- intentions, but I asked them if they didn't think it was confusing. And their response to me was, yes, it might be, but we only listen to the Prime Minister. I tried to invite them to listen to the recording because I made a recording of it. But I said they didn't have any time with me. I wasn't able to skip right to the point. Now, I think this needs to be clarified. I was told that another establishment down Pile Bay was closed during that, the course of that week as well. But I think that needs to be clarified. You mentioned it earlier about restaurants slash cook shops, and I don't think that is clear. What is your view?
You know that in all of this, you need to be guided by the official gazette and whatever the directive is saying.
Right.
That, to my mind, makes the whole situation clear. So from what you're saying to me,
it's on your program for all of Barbados to hear. That cook shop slash restaurants allowed to open until 9 o'clock. And he made the point that there are restaurants by him where the people live upstairs. They don't have to close at 8:30 or 8:45, but they must be closed by 9 o'clock.
Look.
Now, if he says that.
Let me say something. This is not based upon what a man says. It is based upon what the law says. And this idea that you're going to play off what the Attorney General says versus what the Prime Minister says. When the guys from the COVID unit come, what are they going to be guided by? The law, whatever the law is.
Right. So in other words, if the Attorney General says something like this on your program, we ignore it.
He didn't mean to say something on the program. But having said something on the program does not necessarily mean that when you look at the directive, if it does not square with what the directive says, those who are implementing the law are going to be guided by what the law says. Now, you know, a bank, the Attorney General may have an interpretation of what should happen or could happen. And then you can find that when you look at the actual wording of it, it may not square with how he has projected it. So that's why the safer thing to do is to go with the directive which has been issued. That directive in the case of the restaurant, or the cook shop as you call it, says up until 9 o'clock. And as he explained it, the idea was that it wasn't envisaged that people would just force their workers to go right up until 9 o'clock, but that they would give them enough time to be able to clean up and to be able to make their way home without necessarily breaking the curfew.
I am clear of that, but that's not what the COVID team says. The COVID team says it must be closed by 6. That's the difference.
Well,
that's why I asked if that is not confusing and that perhaps it needs to be clear.
So what piece of paper they showed you?
I think you know very well, Mr. Ellis, that people don't go online to read the official gazette to see these things. So while it is easy to say people ought to be guided by the law, how many people do actually read the law? But they listen to your program. And if they hear this is what is said, then they're going to go by that, at least believe that that is the case. And if that is not the case, then there's some conflict happening somewhere. Some confusion happening somewhere. Don't you agree?
Yeah, but you don't need to have that kind of confusion. I mean, that should be pretty clear as to exactly what is being said.
I am saying it is not.
If you
read the thing, listen back to the Attorney General and see if shops or cook shops should be closed by 6 o'clock.
Well, yeah. I certainly was of the clear and distinct view that, and maybe I can go back here to just try to reopen the actual information that we had there earlier to make the point to you that I have difficulty understanding why there should be any conflict between what one person says and the other. When you looked at the actual document, what did it say? 6 or 9?
I did not look at the document. I didn't go back to look at the document. I went back and I re-recorded the document, and I wanted to play it for you to hear exactly what the Attorney General said. Because usually, he is quite articulate and quite lucid. I think that's the reason that some people find him to be condescending. But he's quite lucid, he's quite clear. And if he was clear, then I am confused. If the COVID team says, we don't listen to the Attorney General. You see this note here? You see who signed this note? Me, Amor Martley, the Prime Minister. This is what we listen to. So it'd be useful if you can check it and see if there is a conflict or if the Attorney General can speak to this issue and say whether there's a conflict or not.
Well, this is what would have obtained prior to the latest directive, right?
No. I'm talking about the Attorney General went on the program on the 19th. So this, what happened, ensued during the week, the 22nd until the 26th.
Well, they're walking with the document, all right? And therefore, if they walk with the document and they say to you, look, we can't be guided by anything that somebody else says. We can only be guided by this document. Then right. It is up to you to read the document and see what it says. And that's the very point. I mean, the same thing applies to people, Coast Guard, who would be out there dealing with the question of pleasure craft and trying to determine whether a person is just taking the pleasure craft for maintenance or whether the person may be trying to make a dollar and that sort of thing. You look at the circumstances and you determine to what extent the action or behavior is in keeping with what was stated.
In fact, what you are saying is that everyone needs to go and read what is actually said. And you cannot go by what is said on the radio, especially if it is said by Attorney General. If the Prime Minister says it, that's one thing.
No, it isn't what that's not what they are actually saying. They're saying it was signed by the Prime Minister.
Right.
All right? So that's on the basis of the authority associated with this, because this one is also signed by the Prime Minister. They're saying that this is the official word. This is the document. This
right.
is emergency order number, whatever it is, you know?
Right.
So they can only be guided by that.
And I agree with you. And you cannot disagree with them because they are executing the law. However,
no, there's a problem if one person in government says it goes until 9, but what you actually see on the paper says it goes until 6. So you can still have to be guided by the paper. You may
right.
very well have a discrepancy in what you've been told.
The point I am making then is that we have to read what is gazetted.
Yes.
We don't
definitely.
Have a choice. So we cannot
That's
listen
correct.
To anything that is said at all. Agreed?
No, I'm saying that you can listen, but you've got to match that against what the directive actually says.
Right.
I wouldn't take the position. Look, there was an element of disrespect in the way that those people spoke about the word of the Attorney General, right? We don't listen to he. Please listen to this. And that's unfortunate because working in that kind of role, nobody should go out there and send that kind of signal to members of the public, whether you agree or disagree with the position that has been taken. So you can see the underlying disrespect that you say was demonstrated towards whatever the Prime Minister, the Attorney General has.
I didn't actually speak to the address, the disrespect, but it is there and you are quite right. My problem was that I thought that the Attorney General was the law or the significant...
The law is what is actually written.
He almost frames the law.
No, it doesn't matter. No, you got that wrong. At the end of the day, whatever he has said to be the law must be done in a proper way. You can't just say it and leave it there. So that is why the directives are crucial.
Right.
That's
and
why
and
some people argue that this whole question of parliamentary approval is crucial.
Right. Again, I agree with you. But he came on to make this clear, to say this as a point of clarity. And this is when you were talking about boats, and then you went on to speak about Ramchandran.
No, but clearly, if the, I cannot recall the directive. As a matter of fact, let me go and look for the directive now, and,
right.
and I will come back to it, because I'm sure that that directive is available online. So I will go back to it to verify what it said.
It would be useful to do that so that other cook shops understand that if you must close by 6, then close by 6. And don't think that you can go until 8:45 or 8:30.
Well,
yeah?
in this case, the directive is talking about what happens on some specific days. This is a directive aimed at trying to keep us off the streets and that sort of thing over that period.
No, I wasn't talking about that period. I'm speaking about the period outside of that.
Okay, let me look and see what the directive actually said on that. And
yes, and I think it would inform bookshops, people who cook food, you know, what time they are allowed to open to, if they are breaking the law, and if they
got me,
that they need to
you
back
got
up.
Me a little bit of a quandary here, because I thought that they were permitted to operate until 9, and then the only issue arose as to people thought that it was pushing these people in a position where they might well be breaking the curfew, and that's when he clarified that it didn't mean that they had to go to 9:00.
Correct. No? Correct. 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 Yes. So, like I said, it needs to be clarified, and people need to read it. If you can get it, people listen to this all over the island. Clarify it so that people know that if they go beyond 6:00, then the COVID team is likely to either to close you down or to speak to you in a way that could be quite intimidating.
Well, I have here, it was paragraph 6. It said, on Sunday the 21st of March 2021, only the following non-essential services shall be permitted to open in the manner specified. And it said here, hotels, villas, and other rental accommodation for the entire day, including restaurants. That was what was said in directive number 6.
Right.
For the entire day.
He spoke as though a slash was next to restaurant and that cook shop was adjacent to that slash.
Look, it said here, restaurants shall be permitted to open for regular service from Monday to Sunday between the hours of 7 a.m. and 9 p.m. and may only serve alcoholic beverages with meals. Do you understand? That's what that directive said. From 7 in the morning until 9. And where's this piece of paper that they could have shown that said it closing at 6:00?
Well, I am telling you.
This is what is written.
Well, I am telling you what they did.
But something is amiss there. Because you all should, whoever to put the piece of paper to, should have been able to see for themselves, because this is saying so.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Down to brass tacks.
Hello.
Down to brass tacks.
Hi. Hello. Hi, Mr.
Yes.
Ellis.
Hi.
I was just calling to see if I could help a little with your last caller.
So yeah.
So in the video, the video that was shown with the Attorney General, he actually made specific reference to the cook shop, and he said it was 9:00, as you read, and he also said that for many cook shops across Barbados, people live at the establishment, so it may be attached to your home, and so you were free to open up to 9:00 because you live there. But if you do not live there, then make sure that your staff and you are off of the public roads by 9. So it means determining what time you can close to make sure that you and your staff are off of the public roads by 9. So that was
my interpretation, but this is where this whole matter gets messy, because the gentleman claimed that these people came with a document that they suggested had a different closing time. So it just says to me that anybody who brings a document to you, you're going to have to verify that the person is indeed working with the unit, and that the document, that you got to read the document. It seems as though some people were left to believe that there was a conflict, when indeed there was no conflict in between what the AG said and what was on the directive that I saw.
And sometimes what happens too, and I've experienced this when I went for my COVID shot. Sometimes what happens too is that the information hasn't reached the people on the street as yet. They still have the document from day before yesterday, you know,
yes.
And there's been a change in, you know, and so they're still operating on that premise. So sometimes it calls for a conversation and understanding, because, you know, all of us trying to figure it out. So, you know, I just thought I'd give a little clarity.
Well, thank you very much.
All right.
Down to brass tacks. Have a good day, too. Down to brass tacks. Hello. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Miss Alice. This is Carlos Fort.
Hi, Carlos. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm well.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Let me first, thank you and John for giving me the opportunity to get on the air. I'd also like to thank you for your, congratulate you on your retiring from your long career of excellence in journalism. And just to add that it is a relief to still have you on the air, notwithstanding your retirement. Of course, I should take the opportunity publicly to say as well that as a former Ellerslie Old Scholar, you have been a source of inspiration over the years. And it is important to have public figures who have achieved excellence coming from the newer secondary schools, given the psychology around schools that permeates the country. I call in today to make a few comments on the proposed minimum wage.
Yes.
As well as a recent proposal that I saw in the press a couple of weeks ago pertaining to the government moving to contracts for permanent secretaries or senior positions in government that may be equivalent to permanent secretaries. Let me start with the minimum wage issue. I do agree that the timing of the minimum wage or the proposed minimum wage is not appropriate at this time. The government should be commended for instituting a nationwide minimum wage. Unions and workers over the years have been pushing for that. But there's an important part of the equation that must be considered in that, and that is the ability to pay. It isn't just a question of, you know, there's cost of living considerations that must be taken into account. But we must also consider the ability to pay. And perhaps what the government could do as some compromise between the instituting the minimum wage next month or delaying it until next year, perhaps a middle ground could be to target those sectors which have not been as badly impacted by the pandemic. Because after all, not just business, but government has had considerable deterioration in their revenue. And certainly the government, and I think most economists would concur, that if there was a clamor for increasing wages in the public sector at this time, that it wouldn't be appropriate. And likewise, there would be those companies where they may have employees who are currently paid below the proposed minimum wage, maybe gas station attendants, for example, some people working in supermarkets. Those are security services. Those are areas of the economy that may not have been as badly impacted because of the essential nature of those businesses. And therefore, they still have some measure of buoyancy in their revenues. And therefore, the ability to pay an increased wage may be there. However, there are a large number of businesses, small businesses in particular, who may not be in a position to pay because they're struggling to keep their businesses afloat. And so we do have to consider the ability to pay when implementing the minimum wage. The economic literature on minimum wages is somewhat mixed. It isn't definitive. The pros certainly is that those persons who are able to get an increase in the minimum wage would have more disposable income to meet their needs. Of course, lower income people tend to spend a disproportionate amount of their income, and therefore that could lend itself to a boost in economic activity. On the flip side, you also have considerations pertaining again to costs that may ultimately be passed on to the consumer, thereby increasing the cost of living further. And you know, why the timing is important? Because there are circumstances where the economy may be doing fine. Businesses have not taken the initiative to pay workers their due, and it may be appropriate for government to legislate a minimum wage. And when the government does that in those circumstances, it may not have a deleterious impact on the economy because the ability to pay was there. There's no impetus to increase prices to cover or absorb that cost. So these are some of the considerations that are important. It would be good to hear some of my colleagues, colleague economists from the university and the freelancers to weigh in on these issues, because I must say it is some disappointment. I have been observing in the past year or so that not many of my colleagues have been speaking on pertinent issues that concern the nation as perhaps they ought to.